Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Namaste Radio. The intent of our programming is to increase awareness, inspire loving action, and ignite transformation and healing in our listeners, and through them, our world. Namaste Radio is brought to you by Namaste Publishing. Please join its interactive spiritual community. Communicate directly with authors, guest bloggers, and others like yourself who are spiritually seeking a better way of living. Connect, make friends, and be one with our new Namaste Global community at namastepublishing.com. And now, please welcome your host for this hour, Marie Bernard, on Namaste Radio, radio that will change your life.
Good evening. Welcome to Namaste Radio. I'm your host, Marie Bernard. Thank you so much for joining with us tonight. If you would like to get on the air and ask a question, the number to call is 1-347-202-0129, or you can also pop into the chat room and ask your question that way, and I will pass it on to our guest. Tonight's guest is Tony Stephan. Am I saying that correctly?
That's right.
Yes, Tony Stephan, and he is the founder of True Hope. You can find him at truehope.com, and we're going to be talking about micronutrients and how they can help you with your symptoms of depression, bipolar, and other mental health issues. Welcome to the show, Tony.
Well, thank you very much. It's wonderful to be on your show tonight. Thank you.
Thank you for being with us. I think this show is so timely because just the other day I was watching TV and there was an ad for a new drug called Abilify. And in the ad they were saying if you're one of the two out of three patients who are taking antidepressants and still are feeling depressed, you need Abilify. And it made me think, well, if two out of three patients are being medicated and it's not helping them, then obviously these medications aren't that effective.
Well, there's a lot of evidence pointing that direction. Major research has recently been published over the last 2 years that identifies that for mild and moderate depression, it shows no more benefit, meaning the antidepressants, over placebo.
Mm-hmm.
Now, exactly, these are shocking findings that are coming forward.
Exactly, because what I would think two out of three, I mean, so basically what they're saying in this Abilify commercial, if it's in fact accurate, is that only one out of three patients are actually being helped by the medication, and I would imagine that that would be about equal to the placebo effect.
Well, placebo is listed between 0.24 and 0.26. And the greater number of studies are showing that it's less than placebo in most cases. This is what the clinical trials are identifying. So there are very few people that are actually getting assistance. They showed in the Public Library of Science publishing, this is 2 years ago, that only the majorly depressed were receiving some benefit. And even at that, the benefit was so low that it didn't justify the risk in using the antidepressant.
Yeah, because there's risks of stroke and heart disease. I mean, it depends on the medication you're taking, but there are so many risks involved with taking these antidepressant medications.
Absolutely. In fact, FDA in the U.S., as well as our group up here, Health Canada, the regulator, have put warnings about suicidal and homicidal ideation that is created in a certain subset of the population that are using these antidepressants. That's why basically they took them off the market for people 18 years and under.
Well, I was taking a medication for depression when I was about 19 or 20 called Effexor. And I'm not saying anyone who's taking this medication should stop taking it, but I have to say that while I was taking this medication, I was the most suicidal that I've ever felt in my entire life.
Exactly. In fact, that's where our story begins, because my first wife, Debbie, who I was married to for 23 years, suicided after only being on an antidepressant for 2 weeks.
Wow.
Yes, she did suffer with bipolar affective disorder. Yes, she was diagnosed with that. Significant case. But when she got onto the antidepressants, she absolutely lost it. And there is a number within the population of people taking antidepressants that absolutely do commit suicide. That has been proven. And or that they suffer with severe suicidal and or homicidal ideation. If you were to look into the schoolyard shootings in Canada and the U.S., behind every one of them unfailingly is an antidepressant. In every case.
Wow.
Shocking
now, we can't say for sure that it's causing the school shootings, but it seems like there's a correlation.
There's a correlation. Right. And because of the correlation, the regulators have put out these warnings that people may suffer with ideations, suicidal or homicidal. In fact, in the U.S., they now have to put a black box warning on the antidepressant bottle itself.
Wow. So that's a black box warning. That's equivalent to, like, the warning you see on a package of cigarettes here in Canada?
Yes. Just like that. Exactly.
Wow.
Exactly.
And so in your experience, Tony, now I know that people with bipolar disorder or any kind of depression, when they start to feel a little bit better, that's when they're at the highest risk of suicide, because when they're really deep in the depression, they might be thinking about it, but they just don't have the energy to make any action. So do you think that that's the reason that people on antidepressants are more susceptible to suicide, or is it something else?
Could be. Canadian Medical Association journalist CMAJ published a number of research documents. This isn't recent. This has been out for quite a while, that identified that in a group of people that were not depressed, that did not have a diagnosis, when they were placed on an antidepressant, numbers of that group became suicidal. Popular belief, I don't know if there's any evidence of causation out there, but popular belief is affirming what you're saying, that in the high cycle of bipolar, not the depressive cycle, but in the euphoric high, it's bipolar because it has two poles, a very, very deep low and a very, very euphoric high. But popular thinking has that in the manic cycle, that's where most of the suicides do occur. And oftentimes, in that type of state, there's a crash and burn type of a profile where people get very, very euphoric and all of a sudden they have a severe crash and they become suicidal at that point as well.
Now, Tony, also with people who suffer from bipolar disorder, I don't know exactly the types of medications. I would imagine it would be somewhat different than the medication you would give for someone with depression. You use more of a mood stabilizer. I know that for years, and I think this is changing now, but the go-to medication for bipolar has been lithium, which is actually a poison. Is that something that you've had any experience with in your family?
Oh, yes. In fact, my son was on lithium. My daughter was on lithium at times during their, I'll call it their bipolar career. But both of them had used lithium. Lithium actually is a very important mineral in low doses. In low doses, it's found in foods. It's found in some sources of water. And it's not a bad mineral. But when we use it for bipolar disorder to try and temper the mood swings and the agitation within bipolar that's often identified, they often use it at a near toxic dose. You know, you'll be up 800 and, well, more like, let's go in standard doses of 750 milligrams per day, 750, 1,000. And when you start approaching the 1,000 milligrams per day, like 1 gram a day, you're now looking at toxicity, kidneys, this kind of thing, no question. Many people using long-term doses like that have to be taken off of lithium after a period of time because they begin to show renal failure, where the kidneys are affected very, very negatively. So, yes, it can be toxic at high doses like that. It's not found in nature like that. Oftentimes in nature, in water sources, there may be, you know, like 60, 80, 100 micrograms, like a tenth of a milligram that may be present in water per liter, you see? And so it's very low doses in nature, but they use lithium carbonate, they mine it and extract it and put it into a caplet, and people take it at very high doses. It can have some very negative effects.
So, Tony, now I want to talk about your family because your former wife was dealing with bipolar, and I'm sorry to hear that she's no longer with us, and also your son. Now, how did you come across what eventually turned into True Hope? Can you tell us that story?
Sure, I'll tell you the story. This goes back to 1994. Debbie had been struggling throughout our married life with bipolar. At times it was better. At times it was very severe. Unfortunately, I didn't understand what bipolar was and what it wasn't. She didn't really either. Eventually she went and was diagnosed up in Fort McMurray, Alberta, and her diagnosis was bipolar affective disorder 1 with rapid cycling. That's one of the most significant diagnoses that you can have in the affective disorders. But she was she fit the profile. She was very, very subject to this issue in the sense that she would mood swing oftentimes on a daily basis. She would become very, very euphoric, would not make wise decisions. And by the way, I'm going to temper what I'm saying here tonight for your listeners' sake as well as ours. People do not line up to sign up for these disorders. It's not their fault. They don't bring this upon themselves. There are some religious thinking out there that think that this is some kind of a punishment and people brought this on because of sin or whatever. So that's one thinking. And that's not true. It's not true. All people everywhere, it doesn't matter what race you belong to, your creed, it doesn't matter your age, your sex, male, female, whether you're rich or poor, can be subject to these disorders. So people don't line up for this. It just happens. And oftentimes now it's seen at puberty where people will kick into this disorder. But she was very, very true to form with this issue and struggled severely. We tried to cope with it, though we had limited understanding. Once again, she eventually was diagnosed. She understood a little bit better. She was very ashamed of it. This is the stigma that's in our society. We try and hide it. You don't want people to know that you've got a mental condition. You see people every day with the canela in the malls where, you know, they suffer with a respiratory illness and they got a little wheelchair, or they're pulling a stand that has an air bottle, an oxygen bottle. We see people sometimes in the restaurant where they'll be pricking their finger and doing a blood test because they're diabetic, and people aren't ashamed of that. But when it comes to mental conditions, we are, and we tend to hide it, and we don't deal with it well. And she was very typical and struggled, and eventually it got so bad that she decided to try medication. She was against using medication. She didn't believe that was the way to go. But eventually she gave into it, and a doctor put her on a prescription of Prozac, and she absolutely lost it. She became hysterical, unreasonable. Once again, I'm not saying this is her fault. This was not her personality. This isn't the beautiful young lady that I married. This is what happens when you have bipolar disorder in a very severe way. And then all of a sudden, I believe that the drug provided her with a terrible complicating factor. where all of a sudden there was extreme mood agitation, not just the mood swings, a lot of delusional thinking. Her highs became higher. I remember waking up one night and finding her in bed with me, of course. You know, we lived together, we were married, and I remember seeing her sitting up in the middle of the night, and she was crying, and I said, "Deb, what's wrong?" And she said, "I don't know who I am anymore. Am I this person, or am I that person, or am I this person?" A lot of major confusion. And it wasn't long, probably within 2 weeks, maximum three of starting the prescription, she ended it by asphyxiating herself with exhaust. And that was such a terrible, terrible, traumatic thing that we went through as a family. Just terrible. Her father also struggled with the same disorder. And he took his life 16 years before she did. In this case, it's extremely genetic. And at the time of Debbie's death, I had two children that had also been diagnosed with bipolar affective disorder 1 with rapid cycling. So you can see that as a family, we're in a major crisis now.
Definitely. I'm so sorry for your loss, and I just want to say, you know, we're going to be talking, right now we are talking about some of the dangers associated with antidepressant and psychiatric medications. However, if you are currently under psychiatric care, we're not saying you should immediately stop your medication. This is a program for you to consider the options that are out there. It is not safe, from my understanding, to immediately stop medication. If you're thinking about changing your meds, please do consult with your doctor and perhaps talk with a doctor who is open to alternative therapies as well. I don't want to tell people to immediately stop any medication. I don't think that that's safe to be doing so. But at what point, Tony, now you've lost your wife to suicide, and I mean, that increases, anyone who has lost someone from suicide is immediately at higher risk of suicide themselves, in addition to already having two children now with bipolar, very strong cases of bipolar disorder. How are you coping at this point?
I'm not. I'm really under a terrible load because I've got 8 children. Deb came from a large family. I came from a large family. We believe in the family. We believe that's where a lot of our happiness in life comes from, being with one another. And all of a sudden, I've got these 8 children, and I've got 2 of them that are extremely ill, and I'm in trouble. I'm in real trouble. So we took my wife, I remarried about 8 months after my wife's death. I married one of her best friends, Barbara. And Barbara moved in with us, and a wonderful lady, but it was a struggle. She told me one night, she said, "This is like living in a mental asylum. Out of control. And it's nobody's fault." Once again, nobody lines up to sign up for this. I'm not being critical or demeaning. And she's under attack, and I'm under attack, and the whole family's under attack. And sad story is that when you have, and you're dealing with a mental condition in your home, everybody's ill. Everybody becomes ill. And I'm not saying mentally ill, but there's an emotional issue. There's so much that you have to deal with. And there's so much pain, and there's so much trauma, and so much emotional overflow. And so we're in this state, you see. And she says, "Well, let's take him to a very good psychiatrist. Yes, there's some good family doctors that have tried to help. We need to get a real opinion here from someone who's in on the know." So we went up to the University of Calgary Foothills Hospital in Calgary, met with this psychiatrist, wonderful lady. She was doing everything that she could, like just like the family doctors were, to try and help. And I remember sitting with her and Barbara and my son Joseph, and I'm explaining what he's going through, and And she says, please, Mr. Stephan, you can spare me the details. I'm not being rude to you, sir. It's just that you need to understand that I deal with thousands of people throughout my career, and the story is pretty well the same. And I said, okay. And I asked her, I said, you know, with all of the, because I've never talked to somebody of her stature. I've talked to family doctors. And I asked her, I said, with all of your training, you must know of a better answer, because he's on 750 milligrams of lithium per day, and he's losing it. And my daughter's on 5 different medications, Haldol, Ribitrol, Epibel, Ativan, and Cogentin. Very strong medications. Some of them are very, very addictive. And it's not helping her. She's in terrible condition. She's still suicidal. She's losing it. And her marriage is in jeopardy. And our marriage is in jeopardy because of what we're living with here. And I said, so with all the millions of dollars in research funding, pharmaceutical research, laboratories, universities, there must be a better answer. And she said, no, there isn't. And she said, what you have is what you've got. What you see is what you've got. It doesn't get better. We can try and, support him. We can try and sedate him. But he's going to be with us. And I pushed the point, I guess, a little too far. And finally she said to me, Mrs. Stephan, would you take Joseph and go out of the room and close the door? Out in the waiting room. So they left. And when they closed the door, it was like a shotgun going off in my face. Mr. Stephan, you need a reality check. You need to understand there isn't anything better than what you've got. And she flopped open a large book. I now understand what it is. It was the DSM-4, the Diagnostic Statistical Manual, put out by the American Psychiatric Association. It's used to delineate or to demonstrate what these disorders are. This is what schizophrenia looks like. Here's what bipolar disorder, depression, anxiety, all of these various disorders look like. And she opened it up and she said, look what it says here under bipolar. One, it becomes more chronic with age. That means, Mr. Stephan, as he gets older, this is going to become more worse. It's going to become greater, the symptoms. Mr. Stephan, you need to understand that. And Mr. Stephan, you also need to know that he's going to go through medication changes. We're going to try and put him on other medications, but he will never be fully functional. Because you see what it says here? It says it's a recurrent disorder. That means that it's incurable. And Mr. Stephan, you need to understand as well, unfortunately, that there's a very powerful possibility that he could commit suicide, like his mother and grandfather. Because you see, there's a predisposition to suicide in your family. Wow. I'll tell you, it was not a pretty picture. I remember going home and being probably more depressed than what Joseph was, because all of my hope, any hope or light that I had was fractured immediately. And it was a bad situation. But it left me in a situation where I had no choice but to try and find an answer. And that's where this quest began. I talk to a lot of people all over the world, and we do conferences, and we're invited to speak as keynote speakers all over the world. I'm not boasting when I say that. It's just that people are interested in this. And I always hold this out. It's an interesting experience. We've heard the saying that there are no atheists in the foxhole. And I was in the foxhole of life. And I remember learning to kneel and pray and plead, because you've got to understand that it didn't matter what we threw at this disorder. my family was literally coming unglued before my eyes, and I was going to lose my family. But it was amazing because over a period of about a year and a half, I still had to be patient. I still had to look. I talked to hundreds of people. Little pieces of the puzzle began to come together.
And so, Tony, first of all, I want to put out, we're speaking with Tony Stefan, Stefan, if you're just tuning in and you would like to get on the air and ask a question, the number is 1-347-202-0129. If you do want to get on the air, please do press 1 on your keypad so that you put your hand up so I know you're calling in to actually ask a question and not just to listen through the phone, because some people do like to do that. Again, the number is 347-202-0129. And we are speaking with the founder of True Hope. You can find him at truehope.com. We're talking about mental health issues, and we're going to start talking now about the nutrition. And so, Tony, when you started to discover, how did you discover that the nutrition was going to have a difference, make a difference in your kids' lives?
Well, there was a serendipitous event that occurred in my life. I took a position as a property manager, and the owner's liaison is a fellow named David Hardy. Now, David is one of the co-founders of True Hope. Both he and I co-founded True Hope. But long before True Hope came into existence, I began working with David on these property management projects. And one day I was walking down the hall of an older building, and we're talking about carpet replacement and ceiling tile replacement and budgets and this kind of thing for property management. And I told him how bad it was in my family that week, how Joseph had absolutely lost it, how he had actually physically attacked my wife, how I had to get him out of school because of the fights that he was creating. Not his fault. Once again, we're talking about a serious disorder here. And he said to me something that shocked me. He said, as we're walking, you know, Tony, I don't know a whole lot about mental disorders. My wife is okay. My children have never struggled with an issue. He said, so I don't know a whole lot about mental disorders. But he said, you know, I got to tell you this, and this is going to be very strange. He said, I spent 20 years formulating feedstock in the agricultural industry. And I said, what do you mean, like, putting together feed for animals? He said, yeah. He said, in fact, he said, I had, this is going to sound weird, I had hundreds of thousands of hogs that I was responsible for in the northwest part of the U.S. and throughout western Canada. He said, especially among the Hutterite communities, out here in the west, they're very large producers of hogs, and they have large hog operations. And he said, so I would test the feed, and we would add the nutrients that were low in the feed. Like if iron was low, we would add low iron. If calcium was low, we would add calcium to the feed, whatever. And he said, but I used to see a disorder, and it wasn't all that uncommon. It's called ear and tail biting syndrome. And he said, what would happen is these animals would become hyper irritable. When he said that, it kind of took me home. I'm thinking about my son, because that's exactly what would happen. He would have explosive behavior. And then he said these animals would explode in rage. It was just taking me home as he's talking, because my son would rage terribly and then feel sorrow or remorse over it. Just terrible, you know, the suffering that these people go through. And he said, you know, I would see this in the hog pens, but he said, we learned very, very quickly that if, one, you didn't pen them away that you'd have a fatality, because it was called ear and tail biting syndrome. They'd rip off a tail, tear off an ear, whatever, but they'd rip out a piece of flank or whatever, but they would gore one another. They'd have a fatality if you didn't stop it. But he said, we learned very, very quickly from the agricultural literature, the scientific literature, in the agricultural industry, that you could nutrate away the disorder. And I said, nutrate? You mean like nutrients like vitamins, minerals? Yes, he said, exactly. When he told me that, it was like having a light switch flipped on in my brain. And I absolutely knew right there and then that that was a significant answer. And I said, you got to help me. And so kind of armed with my prayers and my desires to bring restoration to my family, and with his agricultural knowledge and his knowledge of nutrition, we started testing and putting things together. And he would look at these bottles and he'd say, well, that's not very good. It's not chelated. That's not going to work very good. Or the balance between the calcium and magnesium is very poor on this. Or look at the copper and the zinc. There's no copper, so that's not going to work. But we put these things together, and they were human nutrients. They weren't hog feed, like sometimes the media has accused us of feeding hog feed to my children. Sensationalism. But these were human nutrients, nutrients that were available on the human nutrition market. And it was a very interesting experience. In November of 1996, my wife lost her life in January of 1994. And here we are in November of 1996, and we're making an attempt with a cocktail of nutrients. Not megadosing. And I would say probably only saw about a 15% change in his demeanor at that point when he was on it for a month and a half. And I was a little bit disheartened, but I still knew in my heart that the answer was here. And in January, on January 17th of 1996, we placed my son on another cocktail. 3 days later, he ran out of his lithium prescription. My wife and I had quite a discussion over refilling the prescription. I called it a family discussion. She called it a fight. And, well, she was very afraid. Very, very afraid. And she wanted to refill the prescription. So if there's any men in the audience, I could ask the question, who do you think won? Wasn't me. But she went down and she refilled the prescription. She brought it home. And on the way home, she said she was doing some thinking and praying. And she gave me the bottle. And she said, you know, Tony, you do what you think you have to do, because I know the lithium, it kind of takes a little bit of the edge off, but he'll never, ever, ever even be close to normal on it. So I took that prescription bottle and I went upstairs and opened the bureau medicine cabinet and I set it on the shelf and I closed the door and I never had to ever take it down. Because you see, within 30 days, this young man, this 240-pound muscular young man all of a sudden became like the 5-year-old that I used to know, kind and gentle and compassionate and understanding and intelligent. It was like he reverted back to his normal self. Because you see, when he hit puberty, he lost it. When he hit puberty and went through those hormonal changes, whatever happens in the body, and I can't explain why it happens, that's when he became bipolar. That's when he absolutely lost it. But all of a sudden, he's back to where he's at. 6 weeks into this program, we're sitting on the couch. We're talking, conversing with one another. I hadn't had a conversation with him in 2 years like this. And he says, you know, Dad, I don't understand. Where was I? What happened to me, Dad? What happened to me? And I said, you know, you don't have to go there. You don't need to even worry about that. That's a different day. Long story short, my daughter, Autumn, ended up being sent down to stay with us. She had to have 24-hour adult supervision. This is a month later, February 18th, 1996. She'd just gotten out of the University of Alberta Psych Ward, the Walter C. McKenzie in Edmonton, Alberta. She's struggling badly, 5 medications, 24-hour adult supervision. She's lost in her mind. And she came in the door on a Saturday, And I just about wept because this is a shell of the young lady that I knew that had accelerated through grade 6, right from grade 5 to grade 7 because she was in the gifted program. And she'd lost all of that to the disorder and to the drugs. And she didn't want to do this. She was dead set against it. She said, my doctor told me if I ever get off my medications, I'm going to die. And I'm going to put a caveat on here too, just like you already have, to the listening audience, don't get off your meds. Don't do that, because that doesn't work. There's ways of doing this appropriately. But anyhow, she had said no to this when I offered it to her on that Saturday evening, and Sunday we went to church, sat in the long pew together, and she got into an anxiety attack, and I had to take her home, and she revved up throughout the day, became extremely suicidal. A friend of mine came over. He was a psych nurse. He came over for dinner that night, just happened to be there. I don't believe in coincidences. And he took one look at her, and he said, she's got to be sedated. We got to load her up in the back seat. You hold her down, I'll drive the car. And I said, no. And I won't tell you that I forced her to do it, because that doesn't sound politically correct, but I did constrain her to do it, and she never believed it would work. On day 3, she woke up and complained about being over-medicated. She came off of 4 of her 5 medications. 45 days later, she's off of all of her meds. Her doctor writes a letter saying, I don't see any reason why she would go into remission. These two young people, married with a large family. Well, she has a large family. She's 5. She's written a bestseller here in Canada. It's called The Promise of Hope. She has been well now for 14 years. Never looked back. My son Joseph, the same story. He's married. He married a young girl that suffered with bipolar. She's well. He's well. And they have 2 children with a 3rd child on the way.
Wow.
This is a story of success. It's a story of restoration. It's a story, to me, of an answer to prayer. And we now have had over 67,000 people on this program, of which tens of thousands are absolutely well, are medication-free. We have hundreds of doctors doing this now. We train doctors on how to use these nutrients. There are now 14 peer-reviewed medical journal publishings, journals like the Journal of Clinical Psychiatry, journals like the Journal of Child and Adolescent Psychopharmacology. There are now 10 universities, including Ohio State, University of Hawaii, University of Alberta has done research, University of Lethbridge has done research, University of Calgary is still completing research. New York State University just had a publishing here, combined with the University of Calgary. University of Canterbury, New Zealand, is doing major research. And none of this is paid for by ourselves. We couldn't afford to pay for it. It's independent because the researchers involved are seeing a major answer to mental conditions through this protocol.
Wonderful. Well, thank goodness for that, because sometimes when we start talking about big pharma, pharmacological drugs and all of the multi-billions of dollars that go into research and protecting the patents on those drugs, sometimes people start to think, well, you know, the medical profession doesn't want us to have alternative medicines because that costs, that they lose money. So it's nice to see that that hasn't been the case in this situation.
Exactly. And it's a very hard thing to get a university to do research like this because they don't have the funding in many cases, because probably 95% of the research that takes place is pharmaceutically funded. They have the big dollars. And so these researchers have to go and seek for funding. And like I say, we couldn't afford to do this. But what the story speaks of more than anything is, one, a determination to find the answer is the big answer. I have seen people who have suffered with cancer, who have done chemotherapy and were sent home to die, that are well years later. I have seen people with diabetes who have used not our program but other programs that were declared diabetic with high blood sugar levels all the time, insulin resistance, and who are no longer diabetic, and they don't use insulin. I have seen people with heart disease that have had issues resolved with nutritional programs as well. The answer is going on a search. It's looking under every rock. It's realizing that, I'm going to say this, that God has put, and I'm serious, I don't want to sound like a preacher, but God and nature have all the answers already here. It's hugely a matter of just finding that answer and doing the thing that fits. For instance, if you were to take every vitamin and mineral, amino acid, all the ones that are out there, but you excluded vitamin C from your diet totally, there was no vitamin C, your chances of dying from scurvy are very, very high. We know what created rickets. Remember rickets in children? You don't see that anymore. Vitamin D deficiency, right?
Mm-hmm.
We know that scurvy is a vitamin C deficiency. We now know, based on this research, that mental disorders are the result of a lack of nutrition. Our food is highly processed, overly processed. There's not a lot of nutrition in the food today. Take a look around at how high the levels of asthma are in our rising generation in the children. And yet, if you were to go to Medline, which is the U.S. government Department of Health that operates Medline, I think they have over 10 million studies in there now that are all database that you can look up, right? And you put the words anorexia and zinc in there, watch how many abstracts come forward. Medical science saying, yes, if you take someone with anorexia and you load significant levels of zinc into them, you can actually turn on the system where they will begin to consume food again.
Wow.
That's not
me speaking. I have no idea.
Anybody can do this for themselves. What I'm saying is that there's a complete disconnect between medical research and medical practice. I'm saying that we're 20 years behind the agricultural industry that discovered years and years ago that ulcers are not caused. They are promoted, I didn't say caused, by stress, but moreover by a bacteria called Helicobacter pylori. And it was discovered years and years ago in the agricultural industry that when pigs get ulcers, and they're monogastric, they're somewhat akin to us. We didn't come from pigs, but they have similar blood systems and gastric systems. But they discovered years ago that giving a dose of tetracycline and bismuth, you know, like Pepto-Bismol, bismuth, the mineral?
Yeah.
Combined with tetracycline, which is an antibiotic, that it would kill the bacteria, Helicobacter pylori. You can look that up. There's major publishings on that. And they found that you could heal these ulcers in pigs just by doing that. Well, eventually the FDA came out with a Dear Doctor letter saying, hey, docs, you don't have to chop anymore. You don't have to remove stomach. You don't have to cut out the intestine because of ulcers or whatever. There's an answer, and the answer is using tetracycline and bismuth. But, you know, it still hasn't caught on. There are very few doctors still doing it. The Dear Doctor letter, I think, went out about 6 or 7 years ago. Do you see what I'm saying? There's a disconnect here.
Mm-hmm.
And many, many nutrients have a profound effect in resolving various issues within the body, not just mental illness.
So, Tony, I want to get back to True Hope, since today's topic is about mental health, and I I'm so glad to hear about all of these discoveries as far as other physical health conditions. Now, True Hope, can you tell us about what, so you offer supplements on your website?
We do, but here's the key, and this is why I think it was very important that you talked to your audience and you said, don't hop off your meds. Don't just jump off your meds. Here's what we found. One, many of these medications are very, very addictive. They create what's called withdrawal symptoms, or the better terminology that the medical system uses is a discontinuation syndrome. Wow. That sounds better than withdrawal. But the benzodiazepines have been established as being very much so, and there's been warnings put out by the FDA and especially Health Canada. There's a book called Benzodiazepine Use in Canada, put out by Health Canada, warning that these benzodiazepines should not be used for any more than 2 weeks at a time. We're talking Ativan, Xanax, these types of products, okay? Things like Seroquel can create withdrawal symptoms. Effexor is known to create and identify. Paxil has been identified by the U.S. FDA as well as Canadian Health Canada as well. And there are warnings on their websites about the addictiveness or the withdrawal symptomatology that's produced by Paxil. So that's the first case. Don't just jump off your medication. The second thing is, if the medications are not mediated appropriately, people go into, in many, many cases, some severe side effects. For instance, if you take normal controls and whatever normality is, people that don't suffer with depression, and you load them up with an antipsychotic or a mood stabilizer or lithium, or you load them up with an antidepressant, they don't become more normal than normal. They have
no.
Severe side effects. Yeah, it actually causes their brain chemistry to be pushed out of balance. And that's well established in the literature. So understanding that, in loading nutrients into a person, there must be care and caution for the appropriate reduction of the medication. So what we do is we have counselors in our group. We have about 35 people on the phone. And what happens is the person phones in, they'll say, I read about this, or my doctor. Now, in many cases, if my doctor has asked me to give you a call, and he's actually recommended me to use your product, and we'll work with their doctor as well, and we'll work with the participant. We start them off on a lower dose of our product called Empower Plus. They start to take the product. They start to do better. And at that point, we suggest to them that it's now time. They must begin to remove the medication. We work with their doctor, their practitioner. He or she will reduce the medications and titrate them downwards, not just dropping them, but over a period of about a month, those medications will disappear. If it's a benzodiazepine that does have a lot of addictive type symptoms, it may take as much as 5-6 months to get off of that type of a product. But we work them very, very, very gradually. We have a large database where people can monitor themselves. On this database, they can put in their charts of, like they fill out a daily or a weekly chart where they rate themselves. For instance, feelings of depression, not at all, just a little, pretty much, very much, 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, that kind of thing. And it produces bar graphs. They're able to look at that. The doctors, in many cases, will study the bar graphs as well. And we make recommendations for medication withdrawal based on the data that comes out of this database. And like I said, we have over 67,000 people in that database.
And so, Tony, what are some of, I see on your website, truehope.com, I want to put that out there again, that some of the disorders that are alleviated with your products are ADHD, schizophrenia, bipolar disorder, depression. What about things like anxiety or social anxiety disorder, things like that?
Commonly. That's one of the most common disorders in North America's anxiety. It's huge, the number of people that are affected. And often it's a comorbidity. Depression with anxiety. Bipolar disorder with anxiety. You know how they kind of go together in many cases?
Yeah.
And we see a lot of people with anxiety that are able to alleviate or to reduce their symptoms, in many cases, to nothing. There are some long-term cases, and I have to say that the longer that people are on drugs, it does take longer, but they still find some very, very significant results. If we get people that are non-medicated that come to us, and that happens, I won't say all that often, because a lot of the people that come to us are, I won't call them the throwaways, but many of these people have been long-term, they've been institutionalized sometimes, hospitalized a number of times. They might be 15, 18, 25 years on medication, and we deal with the worst of the worst. But when we get people that come to us that are fresh in the sense that they've just got a recent diagnosis and they're not medicated, we put them on the nutrients, and in a matter of a week and a half, 2 weeks, they're seeing major, major reduction of symptoms. So everybody's different. We all uptake nutrients differently. We metabolize differently. Our diets are different. Some people eat very poor diets. It has been discovered in research that people that suffer with bipolar, in many cases, don't eat appropriately. It's not their fault. They're not able to care for themselves. And so that complicates the issue as well. A lot of people have irritable bowel syndrome that often runs with these mental conditions. And we find that it's important for the bowel to begin to function appropriately in order to uptake nutrients. We used to think that the brain was number one. It's not. It's downstream from the stomach. The stomach, upper and lower bowel tract, is where it all happens. That's where we uptake nutrients. And when we don't uptake nutrients well, we're going to suffer with various nutrient deficiency disorders. And this is exactly what happens. Linus Pauling, two-time winner of the Nobel Prize, I'm not sure if anybody else has ever received it twice. But Linus Pauling ran the Linus Pauling Heart Institute and was very, very famous. And there's a statement that he made that he attributed about 95% of all disorders to a nutrient deficiency of some sort. I believe it after what I've seen.
So, Tony, now you mentioned your Empower Plus nutrients. And I'm looking at your website, truehope.com, and under products, there seems to be a lot of products. So does everyone kind of need to go on something different, or do you start taking the one and then you end up on 10 different supplements? How does it work for the average person? Let's say someone is coming to you with depression. How many of these nutritional supplements are they going to have to go on?
Well, we basically see them as taking Empower Plus being the most important part. But we have these different things as well to assist, and they're ancillary or auxiliary to the main function. We see a lot of people come to us that have candida. And if a person has high levels of candida, they don't do well. They don't uptake nutrients very well because candida is a major consumer of nutrition in the body. So you have to regulate it. And so we have things like OLE, which is an olive leaf extract. There's some really good research out there that talks about how olive leaf extract can be used to reduce candida levels in the bowel system or systemic yeast, that kind of thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we have that. We use inositol with people with anxiety, so we have True Hope inositol. There's some really good research. It's not ours. And you can look this up on the Medline. Just use the keywords inositol, anxiety. You'll find there's been some major studies that have shown that supplementing with inositol during an anxiety attack reduces, in many cases, the anxiety. So we use that almost as a PRN, where people take it in the moment to help control.
So that's like taking an Ativan, basically.
Yeah, it's kind of like that. But it's a B vitamin, you see. And it has some very positive. I have a young boy that has suffered with some anxiety, and a very moody boy. He's not bipolar, but very moody. I mean, he's one of the youngest ones from my first wife. And while he's not diagnosed bipolar, when I remember the first day he ever came over to our house and saw a bottle of inositol and said, "Dad, what's this?" And I said, "Oh, it's for anxiety." And he took he said, "How do you do this?" And it looks like icing sugar, and it's kind of sweet, you see. And he took a spoon and put it in his mouth. And, you know, within about 3 or 4 minutes, he just went, And I said, "What's up?" He said, "I don't know what this stuff does to me, but I just feel so calm and peaceful. It's like somebody shut the engine down, you know?" And I never realized it, so he uses it all the time. And gotten better, substantively better, because now he uses Empower Plus with it. So, you know, there's a lot of different minerals and vitamins that have different effects. So we offer different things. Serine. We offer choline. Those are two phosphatidyl lipids that have been shown to have a calming effect on emotional issues. We also have what we call BMD, bone mineral densifier. It's a calcium, magnesium, phosphorus, boron supplement, which helps people with osteoporosis. That's kind of on the sideline. But we've also found that that helps to regulate the bowel, because a lot of people come to us with irritable bowel syndrome, and you got to get the bowel under control in order to uptake the nutrients. So they'll use that to kind of stabilize the bowel, you know, that kind of thing. So
Tony, when people get on the nutrients, I guess I don't want to say prescribed, but advised by True Hope, do they need to change their diet as well?
We ask them to. We say if you're eating a lot of junk food, you try and eat more whole food. It will increase the rate of healing. When you're on a pop and chip diet, there's not a lot of nutrition there, and you're not feeding your brain. And that in itself will create problems. And so we suggest to them that they eat more whole food, better foods, be more careful of what they put into their system, you see. Reduce the amount of caffeine. We're not saying get rid of it totally, but we're saying if you've got anxiety and you're feeding anxiety with a major 12 cup of coffee dose per day, you're not helping the situation. You're getting kind of wired, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, there's things to look at there. Everything has its place, but using it, here's the key with wisdom and prudence. Not to excess. That's the key. Food is good, but when we eat to excess, it's not good. And any individual food eaten to excess is not good. Or any individual nutrient eaten to excess isn't good either. So we're not into mega dosing either. I think that people need to do things responsibly. And one of the big keys here too is that, you know, if I've got a terrible toothache and abscess, and I load up on Tylenol 3-ethcodeine, I'm going to see an effect in about half an hour. But nutrients don't work that way. When you're actually making changes in cellular mass and you're assisting your body and your organs to become optimized, that's a process. It's not an event. And so you have to realize that it takes time for the body to heal. So patience is a big factor here.
And Tony, in your experience through True Hope, and again, the website is truehope.com, you said you've had about 67,000 customers now?
Yes.
And on average, what would you say the percentage is? Because it says right on your site, not everyone, not 100% of people are going to respond and be completely cured or have their symptoms alleviated. So what percentage of people are you noticing in your experience are really being helped by these nutritional supplements?
Every one of the studies completed thus far and published have shown an effect size of 0.80 and above, and usually it's around
85%.
About 80 to 85%. 80 to 85% of people will come around and normalize. Consistency is the issue, and I can't overemphasize that. There's no miracle pill here. There's no miracle cure. It's not the magic bullet. It's taking nutrition and laying the proper foundation so that your body can do that which it does best, that of producing the appropriate levels of neuropeptides and neurotransmitters. That's keynote to this whole issue. It really is. And so that's why it's so important that people are consistent. You can't just buy one bottle and say, okay, if this doesn't work. In fact, we actually say to people, if you're going to do that, don't do it, because you're going to be dissatisfied and we're not going to be able to help you. If you're going to do a commitment, we say you stick to it for a minimum of 90 days and prove to yourself. And if you're on medications, we're saying, well, it's not going to be 100% smooth ride, but you're going to be better. You're going to be much, much better in the next month, the next 2 months, the next 3 months, as you begin to alleviate those medications out of your system. Long-term medication means long-term reduction, right? It takes time to get it out of the cells. And they do store. There's lots of research out there proving that.
Well, even if you go to your doctor and you get a pharmacological antidepressant, I mean, it takes, about 6 to 8 weeks to really notice if it is effective. It takes a few weeks for it to build up in your bloodstream and notice a difference.
Well, they say for Prozac, 6 weeks. Yeah, I've heard that numbers of times.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
And so, Tony, are our... Pardon?
It's the same thing here to a certain extent. That it does just take time. It just takes time to restore those neurochemical metabolic pathways that have been broken. That's why they suffer with this. They have proven in people that are depressed where they have done plasma or blood testing, and they found that compared to controls that are not depressed, people with depression show lower levels of plasma serotonin. They're not producing enough serotonin, a neurotransmitter within the body. And that's why their bowel slows down, because there's more serotonin operating your bowel than there is your brain for the emotional side of things, you see.
And that's why so many people with depression eat junk food, because the carbohydrates temporarily boost your serotonin level.
Totally.
So, Tony, we're coming close to the end of the show, and I want to thank you so much for being with us this evening. It's been such a pleasure to speak with you. Again, we are speaking with the founder or co-founder of True Hope. You can find him at truehope.com. And is there anything that you would like to add that you feel is important?
Once again, to the listening audience, never give up. If I've learned anything from this, it's don't quit. Don't just satisfy yourself when somebody says, oh, I'm sorry, you're dealing with something here that's incurable. After what I've seen in the nutritional science, and I mean science, in the studies, in the lives of people that not only we've worked with, but others, don't give up. Because there are answers out there, and if you look if you explore, you will find those answers. And you'll get your health back in many, 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 many ways. We've seen people that were absolutely destroyed, not just mentally, but physically. And you look at them 3-4 years later and you see a totally transformed person who now is a picture of health. Nutrition can do amazing things. So I guess that's the main point.
Thank you so much. And Tony, just one more question. As we're talking about physical health related to nutrition as well, I would imagine that obviously True Hope is set up for mainly for mental health issues, but when you start to restore the nutritional balance in your body, I would imagine that physically people start to feel better too, correct?
Well, totally. If nutrition, if vitamin C, if all of the minerals, the B vitamins have an effect on your brain, what other parts of the body, what other cells are they affecting positively? That's the question. Good nutrition affects the whole body. This is an organism. It's like a plant. When we nurture it, when we water it, if it's like a garden, and we compost it, we put nutrients into the soil to make things grow, our body works on those same growing principles. We're growing cells. Hundreds and hundreds of millions of cells die every day and are replaced in our body. But what are we replacing them with? Coca-Cola and chips? You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Or are we replacing them with food that's heavily laden with rich nutrient density? That's the key. That's why we see people getting older. They're not born with many of these deficiency disorders, but we see them in their 30s. When does diabetes have onset? What's the average age? You see, you have to ask those questions. Many, many, many cases, they're not born with diabetes. It's onset. Why? Because the body's breaking down. Feed it what it needs.
Beautiful. Well, thank you so much again for being with us this evening, Tony. It's been such a pleasure, and thank you. I'm so glad to hear that your family is doing well and that your clients are doing well. Thank you so much.
Wonderful. Thank you for having me on. The best.
Take care.
You
take
and
care.
All
have
of
a wonderful night. Pardon?
Thanks. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Best to you
Bye-bye.
And your audience. Bye now.
Bye-bye. So that was Tony Stephan, and he is the founder of True Hope. You can find him at True Hope. com, and he also mentioned that his daughter had written a book, A Promise of Hope, and you can find that, the link to that, on the Blog Talk Radio show page for this specific episode. I hope that if you are someone who suffers from a mental health issue or someone you know, I hope that you've been helped by this hour. Thank you so much for being with us, and I would encourage you to join us at namastepublishing.com. It is a free interactive community website where you can discuss spirituality. Namaste is also the original publisher of Eckhart Tolle, and they have continued on with their work with various different authors such as Michael Brown. He's written a book called The Presence Process, other books related to healing from depression, anxiety, post-traumatic stress disorder, getting in touch with presence, and basically an extension of the work that Eckhart Tolle began with his book, The Power of Now. So if you'd like more information about that, again, it is a free interactive website with forum discussions, blogs, a spiritual dictionary, and a whole bunch of other activities to do. That is namastepublishing.com. Thank you so much for being with us tonight. It has been an absolute pleasure serving you with this program, and I hope that it has helped you. Have a wonderful night, a wonderful day, and a wonderful weekend. Namaste.
Thank you for joining with us for this hour of Namaste Radio. For further spiritual insights and sharing, please join us in Namaste Global Community at namastepublishing.com. If you enjoyed the show, please add Namaste Radio as a friend, favorite the show, and tell someone about it. Sharing this show is a precious gift that's completely free. Thank you. May you enjoy each moment of your day. Namaste.